Hey everyone, I'm Thanos Davelis, and welcome back to The Greek Current, a podcast by the Hellenic American Leadership Council and Kathy Merini, where we highlight the top stories of the day every afternoon with analysis from guest experts, policymakers, journalists, and HELC staff. On Tuesday, Greece's Health Minister Vasilis Kikilias unveiled a series of new public health safety measures that foresee tough restrictions on individuals that have not been vaccinated against COVID-19. The measures come as Greece continues to see a steady increase in confirmed coronavirus cases and deaths, as well as hospitalizations and intubations, over the past several weeks. Data shows that more than 90% of the COVID-19 patients in the country's intensive care units are unvaccinated. Nikos Evstathiou, a journalist with Kathy Merini, joins the Greek Current to break down the new measures the Greek government has announced, give us a look at how the pandemic is currently impacting Greece, and more. Niko, welcome back on the Greek Current.
Hi, Thanos. It's so great to be back.
Niko, Greece's health minister, Vasilis Kikilias, announced new measures meant to encourage vaccinations in the country. What additional steps has the government decided to take now in order to tackle the pandemic and the highly contagious Delta variant?
So you're right, the Greek health minister today on Tuesday announced a new set of plans that I would mostly describe as requirements and restrictions on those that are yet to be vaccinated against COVID-19. The most important of the measures was this requirement for a weekly or twice a week test for unvaccinated workers at a personal cost. That would be for people working in academia, tourism, restaurants and bars, and entertainment productions, as well as universities and schools. And the 10 euro cost, as I said, would be paid by the one who has to carry the test. Only school students would be eligible for free testing. The second measure is allowing access to certain indoor venues, such as theaters, museums, or gyms, only to those that are vaccinated and carry a certificate or a certificate of recovery from illness from the last 6 months. And up to the discretion of the venues is also accepting recent negative testing that, again, would have to be carried out by those interested in entering that don't have the other two. And the third measure is that masks will remain mandatory for everyone, vaccinated or unvaccinated, in indoor public areas as well as outdoors where there is crowding. The duration of the measures is also quite noteworthy. So the minister specified they will be in effect from September 13th all the way to March 31st of next year. And he described the measures as not punitive, but an obligation towards all those that lost the battle, specifying that more than 90% of COVID-19 patients in Greece, in Greek ICU beds right now, are unvaccinated. He also repeated there would be no grace period, Thanos, for the previously announced suspension from work as of September 1st of all healthcare and care home workers that refuse to get vaccinated.
It's clear that the government wants to create conditions that will lead to an increase in vaccinations. You've been tracking these numbers, Niko, since the initial rollout of the vaccine. How is Greece looking when it comes to, you know, daily vaccination rates?
That's a great question, and it really is where the real gamble lies, if you will, because after a very successful first arc with vaccination pace, since the last time we spoke, vaccination in Greece has significantly slowed down. So we're seeing now daily rates hover between 25,000 and 30,000 jabs a day. Only 10,000 of those are being new doses, which shows even further decrease of the pace, if you will, in registrations for the vaccine. Remember, in early July, these numbers were up to 100,000 a day, and Greece was able to push by 1% every single day towards a bigger wall of immunity. We have now stagnated at around 56.5% vaccinated with one dose and almost 54% fully vaccinated, which is clearly behind the EU average. And I think the Delta should just compel us to push these numbers up. Now, you know, we have to take into account the August phenomenon where administration kind of slows down in Greece. But other countries like Italy that have the similar Ferragosto phenomenon, they managed to push the first dose figures up to 68%. Even though vaccination slowed down, the effect wasn't that significant. So it's really going to be interesting to see whether following August, where that excuse sort of goes away, is Greece going to be able to push these numbers even further and increase the wall of immunity that we need as the Delta is looming around every corner.
What are experts and scientists worried about in Greece as we move into the fall and turn this corner that you just mentioned, especially with flu season also expected to hit?
So, I mean, on the epidemiological front already, the picture is not quite so rosy, right? So Greece registered 4,608 new infections today, and that is a new high. It's the highest number since the start of the pandemic, when the National Organization for Public Health started recording cases. And though vaccination is changing the way metrics are reflected in terms of hospitalizations or ICU occupancy, things there already aren't looking that great. So new deaths recorded were 32 today, 36 yesterday, and a total of over 500 in August alone. And in parts of Greece, like Crete, already occupancy is dangerously close to 100% in ICU beds. So I think experts are worried that already there is a significant effect in our public health systems. So let alone when fall comes, when conditions will be significantly worse, it will be just too much of a toll on the Greek public health system. And I have to tell you, I had a conversation with three experts who penned a letter to The Lancet last week. Three of them were Greek. 36 authors in total penned this letter. And the news wasn't good. They told me that on a model they created, which predicted vaccination rates, efficacy, resilience of different European public health systems, the public health system in Greece was predicted to be under intense pressure come fall. So there's two specific parts of this that are worrying. First one is the idea of a twindemic, so a parallel existence of the COVID-19 flu and the traditional influenza that we get in the fall. This is something we largely avoided last year, Thanos, mostly because of lockdowns. But this year, since they remain out of the picture, we should expect a double burden on our systems. But what is more, I think our limited public health system in Greece that almost already succumbed to COVID-19, it also has patients with cancer or heart problems and neurological conditions. Those as well need to be treated. And the more this COVID-19 burden lingers onto our systems, the more quality of care will be compromised for those patients as well overall.
Obviously, Greece isn't the only country introducing measures to deal with the impact of the Delta variant in the lead up to autumn. How do the measures Greece introduced compare to what other EU countries are doing to curb the spread?
So you're right, all over Europe, this battle persists. I think it's been shifting from trying to eradicate the virus to a situation where we're trying to learn how to live with it. And you're seeing similar measures being introduced throughout Europe. So Germany last week also restricted entrance to indoor spaces only to vaccinated people, those who recovered from an infection or those with a negative test, and also specified that masks will remain compulsory in closed spaces and public transport. An interesting approach to schooling in Berlin, so where schools just reopened, children have to wear masks at all times and are tested for infection several times a week in order to track breakthrough infections. France rolled out this app, similar approach called the Health Pass, which verifies a COVID-19 status of a person wishing to enter based on a vaccination or a recent test or a recent infection. And French restaurant owners who don't check their customers can face risk of a fine of up to 9,000 euros. So it's quite high. Italy, on the other hand, is using this traffic light system to sort of categorize its regions and apply different measures. But throughout the country, masks remain a requirement for both vaccinated and unvaccinated people in indoors areas or transportation. So throughout Europe, we're seeing transportation to be this new field where this COVID pass or health pass is applied. And of course, masks being mandatory throughout all transportation services. So I think that's where Europe is right now. I have to say there's a divergence in terms of how the epidemiology is going. So in Europe, the peak was recorded in late July, but we now see a 14% decrease in cases. That is not what we see in Greece, where we see new peaks every day. And we can safely assume that a very successful August for tourism seems to be having some effects in the epidemiological situation of the country.
Nico, I want to turn us to Israel, where the country introduced a third booster shot, and scientists and health experts have said that it's showing signs of taming the Delta variant. Cyprus has also announced that rollout of a third dose of the vaccine would take place before September 1st. Is another vaccination effort in store as we move into autumn?
Definitely, Thanos. And this was confirmed by health officials this Monday, who verified that Greece will begin to roll out a COVID vaccine booster dose shot to vulnerable individuals in the autumn. Now, priority will be given to those that are immunocompromised, including patients who are receiving active cancer treatment or who received an organ transplant. And lastly, those that suffer from an HIV infection. There's something interesting here. Only mRNA technology vaccines, so those made by either Pfizer or Moderna, will be used for the booster shot, regardless of whether the said individual previously received the AstraZeneca or the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
Nico, while you yourself were vaccinated against COVID-19, you recently tested positive and were displaying symptoms. You wrote on Twitter about, you know, what you were going through. Can you talk about your personal experience with COVID and, you know, how the vaccine has made a difference here?
Sure. So I'm actually talking to you from my quarantine flat in Athens. I'm towards the end of my expected quarantine. And indeed, I tested last Wednesday positive after my first post-pandemic international travel in Berlin, which was quite unfortunate. I was fully vaccinated for over 2 months, so this was a breakthrough infection. And though we haven't confirmed it with a lab result yet, it could be safe to assume that we're talking about the Delta variant, since it was able to circumvent the immunity of the vaccine. And now my symptoms, it was quite fine, actually. They ranged from mild to moderate. They lasted for about 3 days. My fever went up to 38.5 degrees Celsius. That's 101 Fahrenheit. And there was a bit of fatigue, but thankfully very few symptoms that went beyond that. So few things on my throat and head and little effect in my sense of taste and smell. And so the interesting observation here is that in that travel, my group of friends, they had all received various vaccines, and unfortunately, most exhibited breakthrough infections. But in almost all of their cases, the disease remained very, very limited. On the one friend I had, who had not completed her vaccination yet, the disease was noticeably more severe and noticeably more lasting. So if there's a takeaway here, I mean, unfortunately, the vaccines didn't seem to prevent illness, but the illness was very tolerable. In the one case where someone hadn't been able to complete their vaccination, the effect was significantly different. So because there was a conversation recently in Greece about the importance of vaccination for young people, I think that experience shows that it really can make a difference. So that's sort of the message from my experience. And thankfully, it seems like it's over. So I'm glad for that.
We're glad to hear that too. Niko, thanks for joining us on The Greek Current again. Always great speaking with you.
Thank you, Thanos. It's always great to be back on The Greek Current.
In other news, following this summer's record temperatures, Greek scientists have begun discussing the need to name and rank heat waves. A preventative measure, the move would enable policymakers and affected populations to be more prepared for what are being described by experts as silent killers. Greece has experienced two extreme heat waves since June, both unusually prolonged and intense, with a second wave lasting almost 3 weeks. Meanwhile, Athens' newly appointed chief heat officer, Eleni Mirivili, regards the initiative as a possible game changer in the way extreme temperatures are managed, saying that it would help people understand the danger that is looming while enabling decision makers to trigger policies that would better protect them. Finally, Cyprus's cabinet on Monday decided to rescind the passports of 14 Turkish Cypriots, including Turkish Cypriot leader Ersin Tatar, seen as undermining the Republic of Cyprus. The decision concerns Turkish Cypriot officials and others involved in the illegal opening of Varosha, government spokesman Marios Pelekano said. With their acts and deeds, they undermine the sovereignty, independence, territorial integrity, and security of the Republic of Cyprus, in violation of the Constitution, Pelekano said. The cabinet also decided to seek recourse at the European Court of Human Rights against Turkey in connection with its decision to open Varosha. This would be the fifth application filed by Cyprus against Turkey. That wraps up today's episode of The Greek Current. Thanks for tuning in.